and continue to overflow into our extended family, community, and our world in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, we are starting a new series. Our pastor laid the foundation last week of this parenting series that we want to go through. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you because you are our Father, the ultimate parent. We thank you because you are here with us. And you want to show us, oh God, you want to remind us, oh God, you want to equip us, oh God, you want to encourage us, oh God, on how to teach, how to train our children so that they will not depart from the way. You know the way. You have the way. You are the way. Please, Lord, give us the grace, oh God, to hear you clearly and to be able, oh Lord, to receive what you are giving us so that, Lord, we shall be blessed and our children shall have peace. And our world shall be blessed through our families in the name of Jesus. And your kingdom will be proud of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you all. Like I said, we are starting a parenting series actually today. Our pastor laid the foundation last week, and we are taking the first topic of it today. And the topic is how to train our children to make good decisions. How to teach our children, how to train our children to make good decisions. And what is going to be the approach of this parenting series? It's going to be topical. What I mean by that is that we are going to be taking different topics, and we are going to be approaching the training and the teaching and the parenting through these topics that we are picking. So today we are picking good decision-making skills. How do we instill in our children how to have these good skills that will help them to make good decisions and not bad decisions? You know, there are so many bad decisions that people make in their lives, and is the foundation for so many things that happen later in lives. So we are going to be approaching it through that approach today by the grace of God. And on a lighter note, I want to ask a question. And I want us to use our chat box today, please. There is a chat box on your Zoom, whatever gadget you are using. Please send in your contributions, send in your questions, send in your clarifications or whatever thought that you are having. Let us use our chat box or boxes to send in messages. You know, we are going to compile the chats. Whatever suggestion, whatever question that people are sending, we are going to compile them later. And we are going to really talk about them. And I want children as well, children, because when we are talking about parenting, most of the time we just focus on the parents. This series is going to be a little different. We want children to be involved. Children, please use the chat box. Send in questions. No question is foolish. No question is ridiculous. Just send in any question. Nobody is going to see it until Kevin is going to take care of that for us. God bless you all in Jesus' name. And if you don't want to send in, maybe your question is very personal, you don't want to send it just out like that, please, you can reach out to the pastor. You can reach out to me as well and say, oh, I have this question, maybe through phone call, through email, so that we are really doing what God wants us to do, even at this season, in the name of Jesus. So you might be wondering, what is the aim of this parenting series? Why are we even talking about parenting series? Why are we not talking about maybe wonderful topic, miracles, or maybe how to touch the hem of God's garment? You know, all of that topic, there are so many things that we can be talking about. even at such a time like this. But why are we talking specifically about parenting? It is through God's grace and leading that we should talk about it, even at such a time like this. For what purpose? For what aim? What are we targeting? What are we aiming at? It is to encourage parents, you know, in this parenting journey. There is a lot that is going on. We want to remind ourselves again, like the skills that we already acquire, or maybe we don't even have the skill yet and we want to get equipped on how to, you know, train our children, or to even realign our focus, you know, on the, and see clearly and see more broadly the importance of training our children. You know, and there are a lot of younger parents these days that maybe they are looking at one side or the other in parenting. They don't even know how. This is an opportunity to get these tips that can really even help us in doing what God wants us to do about our raising up our children. And also to bring to our hearts, to bring to our awareness, you know, for us to be more aware that we are going to give account to God, because he's the owner of these children, even in the first place. Hallelujah. So like I said, we are going to be learning the foundations of how to train our children. There are things that are very fundamental that if children don't know and they don't have, they might not be able to, on their own, make good decisions. And we know that we make decisions every day. Every day of our life, we make like, only God knows how many decisions we make per day. And if these children don't have this fundamental training, like the Bible says we should train, if they don't have this training, it will be very hard, if not impossible, for them to make good decisions. Rather, they will be making bad decisions. So please, maybe your situation, you are two parents, maybe there are two parents in the home, or maybe you are one parent parenting the children, you are the father, you are the mother, or maybe you are even grandparents, or you are young parents. It's not to spite anybody, and it's not to say, okay, you don't know how to raise your kids. It's for, you know, all of these purposes that I've just mentioned. And maybe you are even saying, okay, I'm not even in a situation where I'm parenting any little kids right now, but what about spiritual parenting? What about spiritual parenting? And I also want to encourage us to look at it critically, because most of the principles that affect the way we parent, even physically, the same principle can be applied to spiritual parenting. Let us open our Bible to Proverbs chapter 22, and I will read verse 6. You know, most of the time we quote this scripture, but God wants us to look at it even in depth, even during this series. Proverbs 22, verse 6, and it says, I read from NLT version, direct your children into the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. The King James Version says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But I specifically like this Message version of it. It says, point your kids in the right direction. When they are old, they won't be lost. You know? I want to ask us a question. And you can chat the box, you know, the chatting box, as in response to this question. How do you see parenting? This question is coming to the parents now. How do you see parenting? Some people see it as maybe hard work, responsibilities, duties, you know. Some see it as, it just happened. I just have kids and it's just part of life. So how do you see parenting? And I want to answer that question by saying, parenting is a relationship. Not just a relationship, it's a relationship of unconditional love. It's a relationship. We don't see raising kids as just raising kids. And putting these kids in a box of kids. When we put children in a box of kids and we are raising them in that box, it deprives us of the joy, the interaction, the relationship, the connection that we are supposed to have with them. And when we don't have this connection, when we don't have this interaction, when we don't have this fellowship, this relationship, it kind of put us in a parent box and put the children in the children box. Before we go into these fundamental principles and content of having the connection, having the interaction, and being able to train them in a way that they are able to make these good decisions, I want us to look at the word train. That is training. What does training really mean? You know, maybe if you want to look at training in a broader context, you want to say, okay, you are teaching skills. You are teaching skills. You are preparing for a task. You are making someone to go through a regular practice of something. You know, instructing that person to become something, to gain a particular, you know, strength to be able to do particular things. That is training. But when we bring training into this context that we are in now, parenting, what is training? How do you train a child? You know, you can train people in the offices without having a relationship with them. You just follow the rules and pam, 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 everything is in order. This is the rule. This is the policy. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to do. And you do it. You don't do it, you are fired. That is training. That is one kind of training. But when we are talking about training of a child, who is a child? Let us look at the word child. You know, when you look at the dictionary meaning of a child, you'll be thinking about 0 to 12 years old. They are still children. But when they get to 13, that is how our word defines a child right now. But the child that we are talking about in the biblical context is more than that. It's more than that. Learning is a lifelong thing. So grandparents that are home can still give a measure of training and teaching and coaching and, you know, correcting their children. So for the purpose of this teaching, we're going to limit this teaching to maybe like under 21 or under 25, just for us to be able to narrow it down a little bit. Teach a child. Let's talk about under 12 and downward. That is when they are children. And we can even bring it down further to when they are under 5 years old. You know, in child study, there is a training. I mean, there is a statement that someone make in one of my classes when I was in school for child study that talk about the first 5 years of a child's life. Some foundations are already laid when they turn 5. And that is not saying that maybe your child is above 5 years old, you don't have any hope. That's not what we're seeing. There's still a lot of room to train our children. And that is why we're having this today. There are different aspects of development for children. We can talk about the physical, we can talk about the spiritual, we can talk about their mental, you know, we can talk about their emotional, the social life, all of this domain, all of this developmental domain. There is a way that from right when they are born, you can begin to do the training. Even some people start training their children when they are still in the womb. You know, talking to the child, singing to the child, you know, dancing with the child because the child is in the womb, laying hands on the child, praying over the child, that is the spiritual aspect. You know, trying to be joyful. That is the emotional aspect. Trying to eat very well, eat balanced diet. That is if for the child to be well formed, you know, biologically, and to have a good health. That is from the womb. But for the purpose of this teaching, let's start from when the child is born. From when the child is born, what are the things that parents are supposed to know that form this fundamental foundation that help children later in life so that they will not be lost, like the message version put it. The child will grow up. The child that is under 5, the child that is under 12, the child that is under 25 or whatever, so that child will not be lost. What are these foundational things that they should know? So, and even in that same verse, he said, the way the child should go. So we are talking about the training, we're talking about the child, we're talking about the way the child, the training, the way the child should go. The path for the child to follow. What is this path that we're talking about? And that brings us to the God path of the training. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13 says, let us read. Isaiah 54, verse 13. And it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So the scripture says, you train up a child in the way the child should go. And this other scripture is saying, these children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of these children. So let's combine the two together. So the training is not just you, it's you and God. You plus God, you are doing the training. Which way? The way of God and the way of man. Because the man and the God are doing the job together. You know, one of the mistakes that parents make is that sometimes people say, oh, no matter whatever you do, the child will still become what they want to become. You can do all you can, and the child will not turn out very well. Well, I don't know the answer to that. But the point is that man has a part to play, and God has a part to play. And God will do what God, only God can do. And God will not do what man should do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I say, what is the hard part or the hardest part for you as a parent in your parenting journey? That is a question for us now. What is your hardest part in your parenting journey? And the children too. Children, how do you see parents? How do you see parenting? How do you see your parents? Or parents generally, or parenting generally? You know, a child once said, you know, ask a question and said, why are parents so annoying? Why are parents so annoying? And fortunately, I was able to answer the child. I said, don't worry, when you become a parent, you will know why parents are so annoying. Don't worry, you will soon discover. Just wait a couple of years, you'll be there. You know, just on a lighter note. But that is not the whole answer, but I just use that, you know, to calm that child down. So what is your hardest part of parenting? Maybe you say children making noise is your hardest part. You can't even stand their noise. Sometimes they just scream. You're wondering, why? What's this screaming about? Or maybe yelling or throwing tantrum, or you know, stealing, some children steal, or breaking things, or not listening. You say, you know, you are saying the same thing, but the child is not listening. Or maybe your child is wanting you to repeat yourself over and over. It gets you, really worked up. Or maybe children are dropping things every time. Bam, bam. You are hearing stuff dropping and breaking stuff. Or maybe the children are not doing their homework. Maybe they are pushing boundaries. Some kids love to push boundaries. Immediately they know that the boundary is set. They are set to push the boundaries. And this one really makes me laugh. Attitude. Attitude. Maybe your children are giving you attitude and you're wondering like, oh my goodness, how do I deal with this? Maybe that's your hardest part of parenting. Please, let's shock the boss. Tell us what your hardest parts are, or your challenges, or your challenging points in your parenting journey. And the second question is, what are your fun parts of parenting? What are so fun for you in your parenting journey? We want to know. Please shout us in the bus. Maybe the cuddling of the babies, or the huggies of the toddlers and preschools and elementary ones. But when they start getting to the middle school and high school, the hugs, it's like, I need my space. I'm a big girl now, I'm a big boy now, okay? A lot of surprises. Lot of surprises. You just enter your room, you see your child, maybe a little girl wearing your wig. Praise the Lord. Or your child is wearing the daddy's shoe. Surprises, or they are pour all your powders on the rug, on the carpet. Or cream all over your pillow. They say they are doing makeup, Or cream all over their faces or all over their hair. Like a whole bottle of cream is empty on their head and they say, oh, I was just putting cream on my hair, mommy. Maybe those are your fun parts, Or their firsts. There is a lot of firsts for the kids. Their first tooth, when the tooth is coming out and, the first tooth is here. Or the first day of they are walking. Oh, yeah, it finally happened. My child is walking today. Or maybe the first day of daycare, and some parents cry at the door, or they run to their car, they go and cry there. They are all the fun part of, raising up our kids. The first day of, going to university, and after dropping all the stuff there, and you are just there frozen. Okay, mommy and daddy be going now. And we are going, but you are still standing there. Praise the Lord. Or maybe the day they are going to be married, and they will be packing all their stuffs and leaving home. These are all part of, the fun part of raising kids. But I want to submit to all of us here that these are very moments, crucial moments, important moments in raising kids. And they can be very intense, whether the bad ones or the good ones. Emotionally, it can be very intense for us and can be very, very draining. And this roller coaster of emotion can get some parents to the point of, sometimes being discouraged. Even some people get depressed when their kids leave home or disconnected. Maybe this child is just not listening or just have so much attitude that you are not able to, put up with. You get disconnected, and all of these feelings can make us to become, we can begin to feel inadequate, not measuring up. We can become defensive, and we can even sometimes get, a little jealous of other kids and other parents and parenting and family and, that look as if they have it all together. These are the reasons why these parenting series are coming to us to encourage us in this our parenting journey. So quickly, I want to talk a little bit about what does it mean to have the ability to train a child? Because when you are talking about training, it involves two people or more. If you want to train a child, You are the trainer, the child is the trainee. Am I right? I hope I'm speaking the right English. Praise the Lord. You know, the child, you are training the child, and you are the one that is doing the training. So if you don't have enough knowledge, if you don't have enough of skills, how do you do the training successfully? And that's why it seems like a lot of time when we're talking about parenting, it's like a little hard on the parents. But I don't want it to be hard on us today. I really want us to be in that relaxing mood and enjoy this teaching. So I want to tell us quickly two stories. The first story is about a child. I'm not going to use the mom or the dad so that we are not, putting somebody in the box. Two parents were in the court with their son, one son, and a judgment was just passed on the son that the son was to go into a lifetime imprisonment. And that was a calamity that a child that you raise is going to jail for life. So the son said, "Can I talk to my parents, please? This is my special request from the judge." And the judge granted the request of the child. I said, "Okay, yeah, you can talk to your parents." And he sent for the parent, and the parent came closer. He said, "Please come closer, parents. I'm using parent now because I don't want to use mom or dad." And the parent came closer, and the son said, "I want to whisper to your ear." And the son, used his teeth to rip off the parent's ear, one of the ears. And blood started gushing out. And they rushed the parent to the hospital. And the son said, "That is your part in my life imprisonment. I am going, but you go and deal with that." So the second story is about another son. This son was called forward, like in a large crowd, to come forward, to come and take an award. And the son was there standing, and the award was handed over to him. And the son said, "I have something to say. Can I have the permission to call forth my parents?" And the son called forth the parents and said, "This award that I'm getting today, this trophy that I'm getting today, is not for me. It's for this, my parents. So I pray that the later one will be our portion. The former shall never be the portion of any man in the name of Jesus Christ." That is why we want to talk about parenting skills, parenting styles. A lot of time when people are parenting, because there is no manual for parenting, and there is no one box fit all. And because of a lot of things, personality traits and interests and dislikes and opinions and perspectives, it's just too wide, too broad. The list is endless of why we don't have just one box that fits all. Despite that, there are basic approach to training a child that works. And that is why I want to talk briefly about parenting styles. We have categorically, this parenting style is categorized into four types. But these four types can be in one person, in one family or in one parent parenting a child. But one will be the dominant. So that is the way I want us to see it. One will be the dominant. We might not be able to talk about the four today because I really want us to really see clearly about what we are talking about. The authoritarian parents or parenting. The authoritarian parenting style is very imposing. And even as we are talking about this thing, and you are thinking about yourself, if you have anything that, okay, am I in this one, or am I doing this, or am I not doing that, you can shout us in the bus, please. Let's make use of that. They are very imposing. They fall, it's just follow the rule. The children just have to follow the rule. The children have no input. They are not allowed to you know, solve their own problems. You know, sometimes we can even call them helicopter parents because they are always over, you know, hovering over the children, hovering over the children, hovering over the children, right from when they are babies. The child cannot cry. Oh, my child is crying. My child is crying. And they are panicking. They are just there. We are going to talk about it. We are not saying, okay, if your child is crying, you should leave the child to continue to cry. That's not what we're saying. But there is a place where you draw the line. There is, everything has to be balanced. But this parenting style, they are always all over the children. They are not allowed to face any obstacle. Their children are not allowed to face any challenges. They are always wanting to be the miracle worker. And their parenting style is all about rules. You break the rule, you are broken. You are finished. They have little or no regards for the children's thoughts and opinions and interests. It might sound so awkward, but I want to tell you that yes, it's true. You see some parents, they are the ones that tell their children, this is what you must read in the university. This course is good for you. I am telling you, you just have to do it. And if the child is not yielding to that, oh, you just have to be an engineer. If you know what I'm talking about, they try all means to manipulate, to compress, to pressurize, and make sure that child go in that direction. Otherwise, the child is out of the way. One of my children was telling me of how a parent has put some money in their children fund, like a huge amount of money, that this money is for you if you go to medical school. But if you don't go to medical school, you can't access $1 out of this money. Have you considered the child's interest in all of this? If I happen to be that child that parent is telling that, they will have problem because I can't stand blood. I can't stand medication. So how do I cope in an hospital or being a doctor when I cannot stand blood? I cannot even, if I see sick people, I feel like lay my hand on them and pray. Praise the Lord. How do I care for people that are sick when I'm so, you know, full of compassion and I will even be crying? So this parent said, you must go to medical school. And the child said, I don't want to go to medical school. I don't see myself there. That is authoritarian parent or parenting style. Children opinion, children interest, children future. Is, you know, aspirations, you know, divine enablement are not considered. Whatever rules or whatever thing they are wanting their children to be, they have the reasons behind it that is best known to them. And in summary, these authoritarian parents, we call them high, they are very high. They are very high in discipline, very, very high in discipline, and very low in showing love. So with this kind of parenting, there's going to be disconnection. The children are going to be disconnected from them. It's just a matter of time. And that's why a lot of labor and caps are put on teenagers, because it's a period of, you know, that a lot of growth takes place in the life of the children. And they remove the cap. They throw off the cap. Because they have been capped and pressured and have been pressured right from where they are babies. You know, the child wants to explore. No, you can't go there. They block the place. They block the place. The child can't explore. The child can't try things on their own. It just have to be about them. High discipline, very low love. That is the way I want us to remember that. And the children from this kind of parenting, like I said, They can have low self-esteem, and they can become rebellious later in life. So let's go quickly to the next parenting style. Authoritative parenting style. They kind of sound alike, but they are not the same. Authoritarian parenting style and authoritative parenting style. Authoritative parenting style, you know, they are also about rules. They are also about consequences, but plus the children. Yes, there are rules. Yes, there are consequences, but you, the child, in this whole matter, you matter too. You matter. You are the one that matter. But these rules and these consequences are here. They validate their children and their feelings. Even while validating their children and their feelings, they make it clear that I am the boss. I'm still in charge. I'm the parent. They invest time and energy in their children. They look for, they anticipate problems. They talk, they discuss with their children. Even from when they are babies. See them looking at them. Oh, honey, you're having your bath now. And I can see that you're enjoying this warm water. Oh, bubble soap on your face. They interact with the child. They have connection with the child. And it continues to when the child is crawling and wanting to explore. Oh, honey, what are you looking at there? Is that a ladybug? Oh, you are seeing a rainbow color there? They interact, the interest of the child matters to them. They go to the park together and the child is, you know, doing as if he's wandering away. They follow the child. So, what are you looking for? Are you seeing something that I'm not seeing? The child is making some scribble and they are looking at the, oh, wonderful, what are you making? That is an excellent line. Beautiful curve. They are interested in what the child is interested in. That is not harmful. And when this relationship, this connection continues, this interaction continues, by the time the child is able to talk, they are having conversation. This is the kind of the parenting style that does that. They have discussion with their toddlers. Honey, you are looking at that food as if you don't like it. I put this, I put that. Oh, mom, really? You put yummy, yummy honey in this food? And they are talking. Some parents wonder why their teenagers don't talk to them. What were you talking when they were toddlers? Were you talking? Let me not say, were you talking? How much talking were you doing? Or was I doing when my kids were younger? If you are not having so much talk when the child is very young, you don't expect them to come and sit down with you when they are at certain age and you say, okay, let us talk. They're like, what? And when I say what is like, just back off. I'm not in that mood. We're still going to get there. It's not that maybe when they even like when they are in that what stage that we can still reach them. That's part of the thing that we're going to talk about in this series. But we're talking about how the things start, the fundamental things that should be in place that form this basic foundation. And these are the things that will help the child to be able to make their own decisions when you are not there. When you are not there. 10-year-old, they are in their elementary school and their friends are doing something in school and they think about it. They say, no, I'm not gonna be part of that. At 10 years old, the child knows that, okay, this is not where I want to be. Because of this initial relationship of unconditional love I love. So this parenting, they invest time, they invest energy, they prevent problem, they reinforce, you know, good stuff. They reinforce good stuff, good behaviors. When the child is doing very well, they acknowledge it. It's not all about what the child is not doing, what the child is not doing, what the child is not doing. You are not this, you are not that, you are not this. And the child will say, okay, I'm not even anything. Okay, I'm not anything. Some children, if you ask them, what do you think your parents will say about it? I don't know. Because they have not been validated and, you know, affirmed enough. But this parenting, this authoritative parenting style, affirm the uniqueness of the child, encourages the child to be their best, not the best in class. No. Be your best, not the best in class. They don't teach their children to be competitive and hateful of people that are getting ahead. That's what I mean. Because some children, when they are not, because of, and even some kids, when they are growing up, because of this issue that we're talking about, by the time they get to university and they are not able to cope with a particular line that they thought they would be good at, they are afraid of coming home to talk to the parents. They can't come home. I dare not come home. How can I come home to come and tell them what? Well, they are always telling me that I should be the best. Now I'm not even the last. I don't even know where I am now. So they don't want to talk because the rules have been so, so pressing on them. For this authoritative parent or parenting style, they encourage, you know what I mean? They encourage, kind of. A parent that encourages such, that talk to me. I'm talking to you, you talk to me. The children have that line. There is that mutual relationship. We're still going to talk about what the needs of the children are. By the time we are done with the parenting style, we come to the point where we talk about the needs of the children. So when there is that relationship, then the talk will be open. They will be able to talk about it. I just want to put a pause on this parenting style right here, as I'm going to make my conclusion for today, so that by God's grace, we continue next week on how to teach, how to train, how to parent our children in such a way that they are able to make good decisions and not bad decisions, right when they are under our roof, before they go outside of the house, and they're able to be good people in the society. They have confidence. They have high self-esteem. They can stand anywhere. They can talk anywhere. They can be able to manage their lives with minimal crisis. So the authoritative parenting style have high discipline and also high love. High discipline, high love. Authoritarian one, high discipline, low love. Authoritative one, high discipline, high love. And the children there, they are children that are confident, children that can think for themselves, children that can make decisions for themselves, children that are well connected to their parents, children that can make conversation with their parents. These are the two that I want us to talk about today. So from all that I've said today, how are we having this foundation laid for our children? How much time do we have with our children? Time, in quotes. You know, a lot of parents say, oh, I don't travel, I'm always with my children. But How much conversation, how much talk, how much connection, how much interaction are you having with that child? It is very, 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 very key. If your child can interact with you, they can talk with you, they have their opinions, they can hear their opinions, they can talk about their interests, they can talk about their fear with you or their fears with you, then you are laying the foundation for them to be able to make good decisions in life. And making good decisions does not mean that they are just making the decision all by themselves and with your, with none of your input later in life. They will always come back to you because there is a shutting box that you have. There is a shutting line that you have. There is a connection line that you have. There is an interaction line that you have to talk. And that is when they can have peace. Train up a child in the way he should go. When they are grown up, they will not depart from it, or they will not be lost. I pray that none of our children will be lost. I pray that none of our children will depart from the way of life, the way of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I still encourage us to send in our questions, and by the grace of God, next week we continue. Let us pray. I want us to give thanks to our Father. Our Father that loves us so much and says, it is the child that I love that I chastise. But a child that I don't love, I just leave them on their own. I want us as parents to say, God, I thank you because you are chastising me, maybe in one way or the other, of one thing or the other that I've not been doing or that I have done wrong, because you love me. You are teaching me how to raise my kids in a way that they will not be lost in this world that many are getting, miserable in. Father, I am grateful for sending this word even to me today, to look into my life again and see if I have been in this category of parents that give so little love, so little attention, so little minimal interaction with my children. Please, Lord, help me. Or maybe I'm the one that talk and talk and talk and give rules and dish out consequences, and the children are crushed under my parenting style. Please have mercy on me. Lord, help me to be your true child. You love us so much, and you also discipline us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even as we go in the week, oh God, we pray that you give us the grace, oh God, to pay more attention to ourselves and the way we relate to our children and the way that our children relate to us. Please, Lord, give us the grace to pay more attention to our relationship with one another. Children to parents, how we children are relating to our parents. Lord, please help us to pay more attention this week. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to pay more attention to our children, how we are relating to our children. Please help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And so our Heavenly Father, we are very grateful unto you for the opportunity that you have given unto us to look at ourselves and yourself in teaching and training and parenting our children. Lord, if we don't have you, if we don't know you, how can we parent together with you? If there is anyone that is on this line and say, I don't know the Lord enough, please reveal yourself more unto them in the name of Jesus. Even some of us that we claim to know you, oh God, how much of you do we know? Please help us to know you more in the name of Jesus. That even when you are teaching us how to train our children, we will be able to agree with you in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we go in this week, oh God, make our relationship with our family to be better in the mighty name of Jesus. Make our relationship with you, our Father, to be better in the name of Jesus. And make your face, oh God, to shine upon us, oh God, and be gracious unto us this week in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bless us, bless our children, oh God. Bless our world through us. Make us the light, make us the salt of this generation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you all. Let us share the grace in fellowship.